talking about the reason and purpose of why we gather here. We have talked about the hope of Jesus Christ. We have talked about how we wish to expand our reach into the community, into the world, about so we can tell them and share about Jesus Christ and about that hope. And so today I want to continue, but right before we go into a series about how our role as a church member, and I want to just kind of recast some vision and remind us of our mission. Last year in July when I first got here, I spoke on these things to remind us. I think it's important that we set time aside to remember where we're going. Because life gets busy, things get happening. It's exciting to do buildings and programs and make changes, but sometimes if we do those things and not remember why, we get lost. And so I start by talking about mission and vision, by talking about leadership. And the role of leadership and the role that you play in leadership and the role that we collectively play. And I just want to share with you some things that we have learned over the last few years at the Global Leadership Summit. I love how Bill Hybels, he breaks down leadership as to the most basic element is this, is moving people from here to there. That's leadership. As I watched my son this week, he got to play practice, actually not play yet, but practice for the first time baseball, never played before. And watch as the coach led him and the other boys as they swung at everything that came across the bat, as the balls kind of went anywhere and everywhere, as they got lost in dandelions in the outfield, and as he led them, I'm reminded the importance that leaders have. And so I want to share three leadership stories, because there's basically three elements of leadership. There is the leader, or leaders. There are those who follow. And then there is the destination. And we have to remind ourselves that all three elements must take place. A leader who has no followers is a hobo. Followers who have no leaders are a mob, lost and confused. And both of them going together but with no destination, well, that's family vacation. But I want to share three stories. It's from a 20th century philosopher. Many of you may know him. His name is Dr. Seuss. Three quick stories that Dr. Seuss shares about leadership. The first is Yertle the Turtle. If you're not familiar with Yertle the Turtle, Yertle was king of the turtles, and he sat on his rock, and he was king of everything he could see. So he decided he wanted to expand his kingdom by being able to see more. So he started stacking the turtles on top of each other, and he climbed higher and higher and higher. And the total disregard for those who were beneath him and below him and following him, and eventually it caused a big problem. The next leadership story is Cat in the Hat. If you're not familiar with Cat in the Hat, it's an interesting story. He was challenged by educators of the day, Dr. Seuss was. He complained that the readers of the day, like Dick and Jane, were too boring, that you could make reading fun for kids. And so they gave him a challenge. They gave him 225 words. And they said, make a book out of that 225 words. He used 223. And in the story of Cat in the Hat, you have little Sally and her brother. And they were tasked by their mother to stay home. And while it's not explicitly told in the story, it's implied because we've all had moms. What's one of the last things that moms say before they leave? Behave, right? Do what you've been taught. Do what we've instructed you. But what do they do instead? They answer the door to let a stranger in. And this fanciful guy, this Cat in the Hat, comes in and causes all kinds of chaos. And throughout the story, Sally and the brother are constantly saying, oh, what mom would say. Oh, what mom would do if they saw what was going on. And they have this conscience in the form of a fish that is constantly reminding them, this is not what your mother would like. The third story is my favorite. Green Eggs and Ham. I like that story so much that when I was a child and I asked my mom and dad to read a book to me every night, that was the book. To the point that my parents hid the book. So I would make it my task before bedtime to find it. It literally, the binding fell apart and pages fell out. If you're not familiar with Green Eggs and Ham, there's a young guy standing there reading his paper and minding his own business when this annoying guy comes by, Sam I Am. And he starts challenging this person to say, why don't you try some green eggs and ham? Try something different. Try something new. And you go on to this long list of reasons why he wouldn't. He would not eat them here or there. He would not eat them near or far. He would not eat them in the dark or in a car. He would not eat them on the train or in the rain or with a goat or on a boat or in a box with a fox or in a house with a mouse. He will not eat green eggs and ham. Dr. Seuss, three stories of leadership. How do those apply to mission and vision? We'll get to that later on. Let's talk now about New Hope. What is the mission of New Hope? Please look at the screen and we'll see our mission statement. Our purpose is to bring glory to God by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the people of our community, especially those who have no church background or who have given up on traditional church, bringing them into the body of Christ, building them up in Christ-like maturity, and sending them back out again in ministry to the world. More simply put, our mission are these four things. Number one, to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. Do you know that we actually reflect His glory? The Bible tells us He is glorious. All we can do is reflect it back to Him. Second thing we are to do is to share the good news. And what was the good news? The good news is that we are all sinners. We cannot achieve perfection. We will not enter into heaven on our own. That's the bad news. The good news is that Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law, died on the cross in our place, was buried, and the most exciting part, was raised 3 days later, triumphant over the most challenging thing that we could face, and that is death. That's the good news. We are to share with the community. Share what? Well, first and foremost, the good news of Jesus Christ. But beyond that, we are to share His love, His compassion, His teachings. We're to share the blessings that He gave us. In the Bible, it talks about how we are blessed and our cup overruns. There's a reason why that God wants our cup to overrun, because He doesn't want it to just stay in our cup. He wants it to get all over the place. If I were to challenge the writers of the Bible, and I know that they're inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I don't question God, but I always wonder why He didn't just compare us to a set of pipes or a garden hose, because that's what we're really about. See, a garden hose doesn't collect the water. It's just a conduit to get from here to there. And that's exactly what the Bible is telling us that we are. We are conduits of God's love and compassion, His good news, His blessings. Some of us lay around and get all knotted up. You ever get that garden hose out from the wintertime? You forgot to put it upright? That's just me. I usually remember about December that I haven't taken the hose back in. And then you get it back out in the spring and turn it on the first time and water doesn't come out. Are we sharing with the community? And then finally, we are to send Christians back into the world. From day one, Jesus Christ wanted a group of men and women to come together, learn about him, and then do what with it? Stay within themselves? Have a big yay for us party? Would it have been typical if it was really a human-led organization that Jesus would have maybe made like letter sweaters or jackets or pins and given the guys secret handshakes and a little nod to the wink to the nose here that I know you and you know me and aren't we cool we're in this group together? Just the opposite. Jesus is like, I'm hanging out right here in the streets. Every day I proclaim what I'm doing. Paul, throughout his writings, is confronting everyone who stays inside the body of Christ. He says, go. Go. Go do your stuff. Go be fishers and farmers and workers and moms and wives and husbands and men and life. And as you go, share. We can only do that, though, if we stay in this body faithful to the foundation of Christ, which is the teachings of Christ, which is the Holy Scriptures, growing in maturity. How do we grow? Many of us know men and women who are above the age of quote-unquote adulthood. They may be 19, 20, 40, 50, 60, with the same maturity that they had when they were 12. Just because you've been walking on this earth long doesn't mean that you're mature. Same goes with our spiritual walk. You may have been a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, but are you more mature today than you were that day? Are you more mature today than you were last year, 5 years, 10 years ago? Or are you, as Paul said, still eating the babe food? You're still on milk. Now, there's transitions. All of us who have had children, we know that. They go from milk and formula to those little teething crackers. They're messy, aren't they? Or the first time that your kid starts eating food and you give them that bowl with the spoon, most of it's on the floor and on their clothes, not so much in them. Do we give up? Do we go, oh, well, they'll never eat. I guess they'll just be on formula forever. If you walked into a house and saw a grown man and he gets a bottle out. Not that kind of bottle. That's another sermon. But he gets a bottle out and he's like, hey, honey, is this Nutramigen? Is this Enfamil or what kind is this? Oh, this is good. I love this. It's my favorite kind. We'd be a little worried, wouldn't we? He said, well, my mom, she didn't like mess, so she never taught me to eat. Guys, we have young Christians in our church. We have to teach them to eat. And it'll be messy. And they'll get more stuff off all around us than in them. And they'll step out and do things, and we're like, ah. Do we give up? No. Why? Because the goal is not to have Christians just in the church, but they are to be in the world and they have to be prepared. I remind my daughter all the time, who's 13 and going through that stage where all of a sudden mom and dad, our parent intelligence have gone down over the last 2 years. Our understanding of life and the world is just apparently bottomed out. But I remind her, I'm not here to be her friend, her companion. I have a task. My task is to grow you and mature you so that one day you leave the home, praise God. And are able to enter into the world and function and handle life. That's exactly what we as the church need to be doing. Are we maturing our Christians? We need to work on it. That's our mission. Bring glory to God. Share the good news. Share with the community God's blessings and love and compassion. And grow and mature Christians so that we can send them back into the world. Our vision is this, that we will achieve our mission, those four things we just stated, by fulfilling God's purpose for the church as they are summarized in the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, and displayed in the early church. Now, most of us are very familiar with these statements, but let me just clarify. The Great Commandment. In Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 28, Jesus is challenged by one of the followers and says, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus says, This I tell you is the greatest commandment. Love your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and spirit. Likewise, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, vertical relationship. Love your neighbor, horizontal relationship. If we follow nothing else in the entire scriptures, if we could live as Christians by those two statements, we couldn't keep the doors open because people would be flying in. There is nothing more that people want in this world than love and acceptance. If we were a church, and I'm talking collectively, not just New Hope, but the church, the body of Christ around the world, that truly lived that out, we couldn't hold the people. They are hungry for it. How do I know? Because look at the world. They give substitutes like saccharin for sugar. They're not the real thing. The world offers love and acceptance, but it's at a cost and usually requires a membership fee or some type of payment. And sometimes the payment's not obvious. Sometimes that payment is broken relationships and broken hearts. The commandment to go and love. If you turn to the front of your bulletin, another reason why I encourage you guys to have them, you'll see that there are three circles. I introduced this last year, and we will continue to use this as a symbol of what I believe our church is about. The first is the Great Commandment. The second is the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Before Christ leaves this earth, he's telling his disciples one last set of instructions. This is what you're supposed to do. Go into the world. That's why it's part of our mission statement. We're following Christ's example and his instructions. Go into the world. Tell them about my teachings. Tell them about my love. Tell them about me. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And make them disciples. Make them followers of me. That is the Great Commission. And finally, the Great Community. In Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 47, we see a picture of the early church that they gathered together, and if one was in need, that they provided for them. And it says that they were added to daily. When we are authentic in relationship with one another and with God and fulfill the Great Commandment, the community of the church will gather together and will form a unity which will resonate into the community and into the non-believers, and they will come. That is the purpose of the church. And you'll notice that those three blend together, and what I hope and pray is that in the middle of that is New Hope. I'm all about the Great Commandment. We need to love one another. I'm all about the Great Commission. We need to tell people about Christ. I'm all about community. But when all three converge, I think there's something special, and that's where I want us as a church to be. Well, back to our philosopher, Dr. Seuss. What does that have to do with commandments and community and commission? You remember Yertle the turtle? King of all he could see. Here's the problem with leadership. We have to lead in love. Yertle was inconsiderate of his followers. He did not care of their concern or how that his desires made them feel. We're given the example in John chapter 21. Jesus confronting Peter, his future leader in his church. He says, "Do you love me?" "Of course I do," Peter says. Then he said, "Feed my sheep. Feed the people who are following us. Care for them." Three times he asked them that. "Do you love me?" "Yes, I love you." The third time, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And repeatedly, Jesus' commandment and instructions, then lead and feed and care for my sheep. In other words, Peter, if you're going to be a leader, do so out of love and compassion. Lead as I led, but lead. As a leader, myself, as the pastor, as a group of elders, as we lead, we must remember that. As we set vision and introduce new programs and make changes, we do not do so intentionally hurting or harming our flock. Will there be occasions that it does happen? Unfortunately, because we're human beings. But I hope and I pray that myself and the other leaders, and when I say leaders, I mean those who are Sunday school teachers and small group leaders and band members and praise leaders and moms and dads who go home and go over Sunday school lessons with your kids. We are all leaders. However you lead, at whatever level of capacity, we lead in love. We feed the sheep. We stay to the mission. The Great Commission. Go tell about me. In other words, here's some instructions before I leave. Very simple. Go tell about me, making disciples, teaching them about my commandments. Cat in the hat. Yertle the turtle. Remember, I told you it was the leader. Cat in the hat's about the followers. That's us, as we all follow Christ. While mom's gone, kids will play. While Christ is gone, what's the church doing? Oh, cat in the hat, they're having fun. It's great. They get busy. They got thing one and two running around. They're flying kites in the house. They're balancing the fish bowl on top of an umbrella while you balance yourself on a ball. I mean, they're busy. As the followers of Christ, we can do the same thing. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Aren't we having fun? Now, I'm not opposed to having fun. Last week, we had a picnic here. And I just want to thank Candy and all those who did that and put that on, because that was very important for us as a body of Christ to come together sometimes and just have good times. But if our church is nothing but good times and good feelings and feel good, we're not doing the mission of Christ. And like that fish who looked out the window and Cat in the Hat and says, "I see your mother coming." And the kids start to get worried and they start telling the cat to clean up. repeatedly through the Bible. Christ is coming. Our great leader is returning. When he comes to find his house, how will he find it? The Great Commission. Matthew 24, Jesus tells a parable that there was a king who left, and he left three of his people in charge, and he gave them each task. And when he came back, he asked for an accounting of those tasks. Two of them said, I took what you gave me and I multiplied it. I invested it. I created more so that your kingdom has expanded. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. But then there was one that said, you know what? I was so afraid I did nothing with it. Jesus said, depart from me, you wicked, wicked person. We have been given grace and freedom and love and compassion. We were bound for hell and are now set free. We were going to go into an eternity of anguish and pain and separation from God, and instead we are adopted like children and are going to be clothed in righteousness. What are we doing with it? Finally, community. Old green eggs and ham. What are we doing that might be our own green eggs and ham? What's the new thing? Well, we've never done that before. Famous last words of closing churches. We've always done it this way. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes and tells us we are one body and one unified collective church under the auspice and head of Christ. And we will get into more about the body of Christ as we travel through. I am a church member, but let me tell you this. When we talk about the unity and trying new things, there are things that are needed sometimes for one part of the body that the rest of the body may not seem like it's that important, but it is. And it's important to try to incorporate and mesh in new ideas and new people and new programs and new procedures. Never forgetting our mission and purpose. We don't do new things just to be doing new things. That's the cat in the hat approach. We're doing things on purpose. We have a mission to glorify God, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to share his blessings with the community, to grow and raise up mature Christians, sending them back into the world. We cannot fall into the trap of thinking that our preference is our purpose. We may disagree on preferences. I know that. We're all human beings. If we have 125 people here today, there's 200 different opinions. And no, my math's not off. We must stay focused on the mission. If we do that, the changes that come, we will be able to accept them. I don't know what your green eggs and ham is, but I pray that one day, whatever it is, that you can be like in that book. Yes. Yes, I will eat green eggs and ham, and if it means it's in a box with a fox or in a house with a mouse or in a dark or in a car or in a train in the rain or with a goat on a boat. Or it means that we take communion one way or another, or we baptize one way or another, or we play certain music one week or another week, or we have seats instead of pews, and red floors instead of carpet, or we invest in the children's ministry before we invest in the men's ministry. whatever our preferences is, we cannot let them supersede the purpose and mission of our church. If the leaders will lead in love and the followers will follow with purpose and we all agree on the destination, we will get there with the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have enabled us to be part of your plan. God, you don't need us. You have an army of angels that could come down and declare your glory. You have an army of messengers who could share the good news of your son's sacrifice. God, you incorporate us. Help us to be good followers, unified together, not quibbling over some of the things that are taking place along the journey, but God, help us to remember our destination as we follow you, the great leader, and you do so in love and passion, compassion and gentleness. God, you are our shepherd. You lead us. Help us to follow and love one another. In your name we pray. Amen.